Welcome to the Blow Your Mind Set Podcast, where we unravel the extraordinary and the ordinary. In a world filled with jaw-dropping events, societal shifts, workplace dynamics, and domestic drama, we're here to explore the mind-blowing moments that make you go, wait, hold up, what? I'm your host, the Nicole Smith, your emotional intelligence thought leader that encourages you to maximize your emotional intelligence for success, survival, and to be emotionally brilliant. Together, we'll dive deep into the captivating topics that shape our lives and our mindsets. We're here to challenge your perspective, spark your curiosity, and maybe even redefine what you thought you knew. So buckle up. Get ready for a mental journey like no other. Blow Your Mindset Podcast. Because the world is full of surprises, and we're here to explore them together. Get ready to have your mind blown. Well, hello, hello, everyone. I am your host, Nicole Smith. I am so happy today because many of you may have known I did a podcast a year and a half ago, so I had to put that on pause, and I decided to relaunch my podcast, and here you have Blow Your Mindset with Nicole Smith, where we are going to challenge your perspective, redefine your mindset, spark your curiosity, and maximize your EQ, and I am so excited because our first guest, they are based out of Atlanta. They are a powerhouse couple. They are in there trying to help relationships. Yes. And helping everyone thrive in their relationship. And, you know, just see what blows their mind in that relationship space. So we are going to hear from Devon and Jennifer Heath. They are relationship and life coaches and the brand owners of Chameleon Love. I love it. I love it. Chameleon Love. Yes. You see their energy. You see the energy already. You hear their energy. They live in Atlanta with their three sons. They have consulted with hundreds of people, coaching them on self-love, self-worth, conflict resolution, leadership, communication, setting healthy boundaries, establishing solid foundations, and loving others the way they need to be loved versus how you want to love them. My friends, this conversation is going to be amazing. Ultimately, all of this that they do, all of their expertise results in thriving and having adaptable relationships. My friends, I want you to welcome Devon and Jennifer with Chameleon Love. See the energy. Now I have to ask, is this all the time?
All the time. All the time. I'm talking about 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. Our kids is like, Mom, you're being too loud on
They're not that funny.
Go to sleep. And you're like, I am funny, actually. I am amazing, right?
Excuse me?
Yes.
It's your father. You keep doing this to me. You know, you can't laugh little. You know, my laugh is like loud, obnoxious. He'd be like, man, shut up. You're going to wake up the kids.
Because, you know, when the kids go to bed, you know,
That's our time.
Right, but you can't be waking up the kids because then you have to start the whole process over.
That's why I'm trying to.
But he don't do right. So you know I don't laugh.
Like we got a 33.3% chance to wake up one of these kids. I'm like, come on now.
Right. Well, I have to say, I don't feel sorry for you because I am an empty nester.
Look at her, man.
I'm an empty nester, so you know.
You see all the peace that she has on her face, like she's restful.
No, what I see is all the organization behind her that's not messed up. That's what I see.
The kids don't come in this. They don't come in this office. Absolutely, but it is a journey. Getting there. Let me tell you, it is a journey getting there. And I love this energy. Please keep it going. But I know the audience is sitting here going, oh, okay, we're going to talk about relationships, knowing that they need to listen and pay attention. And this is where I'm going to tell all my listeners and those viewers that are watching, pull out your notebook, pull out your pen, pencil.
You're going to need it.
You're going to need it. You can pull out your phone. You can take notes, however you want to do. Right. And because they are listening to us, they can pause, rewind.
No.
But do not fast forward, because you need to every nugget that you're about to hear. Right. So I am going to throw out one question. Actually, it's a two-part question, but it's going to get the conversation started. Okay. And I think it's going to get it started in the right way. So Devon and Jenny. Excuse me, Jennifer. I'm going to call you a professional name.
And Jenny. Listen, I go by all of them.
All of them. All of them. So today in the relationship space, okay, if you're not following Devon on IG, here it is. At Von.
What are you doing? If you're not following me, what are you doing?
There you go. IG at Von underscore tough, T-U-F. He just reached 100,000 followers, right? That's, yep. I mean, right? You are an influencer. You have 100,000 people following you. So you make sure you lead them in the right direction, my friend.
And I want to add this too, because I think it's really important. So tough. People think tough. They think like tough, like macho, manly. And yes, that word is ambiguous, right? But even though it's spelled differently, but it is ambiguous, but it is an acronym. And TUF stands for Teaching Under Faith and Family. So that's what I want to do. I want to teach people the importance of having faith, and to teach people the importance of having family. And family doesn't necessarily have to mean blood. It can mean your support system, your friends, the friends that you've been friends with for so long, but now they've become your family. Yeah. So I wanted to make sure I put that out there, because a lot of people see tough and they're thinking, oh, tough like macho. Yeah, that is true. However, it has another undertone. So
thank you for sharing that, because I didn't know that. Listen, you learn something new every day.
Yeah,
I like that. But you know,
when did you come up with that? When you were training.
When I was training.
When he was an actual
over 10 years
personal
ago.
Trainer.
Wow. And in my world with emotional intelligence, that helps lead to that resilience. Yeah. You know, teaching under faith and family leads to such amazing resilience. So I like that. Thank you so much. So, you know, again, follow IG at Von, V-O-N underscore T-U-F-F. Okay. So you can go in there to that Instagram, become one of those followers, because you're going to get some good nuggets. But here's my question. Today in the relationship space, what have you both seen that blows your mind? And I have a second part, but I'm gonna allow you to answer that part first. So what have you seen in your industry, in your space, that just blows your mind?
The thing that I've seen that blows my mind is that how many people have an opinion about relationships and is an expert on relationships, that isn't in a relationship, hasn't had a successful relationship, they're not married, they don't have kids, or whatever the case is, but have all of this advice to give, this expert advice to give. And I'm not saying that you can't drop nuggets if you aren't in a relationship about relationships. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is it's going to be hard for me to follow you and to really buy into whatever it is that you're talking about. I don't have any experience in that field. I'm not going to go to a person that doesn't have a savings account or doesn't have any wealth built for wealth advice.
Correct.
So it's the same thing. And people ask me, well, what makes you qualify to be an expert? First of all, I'm not an expert. I'm a high performance student. Okay. I'm always evolving.
I don't know
everything.
Not again, high performing student.
I'm not an expert. I'm a high performing student.
Okay.
And that means student of relationships, student of love, student of my wife, student of parenthood. I am a student.
You got an A plus.
I love to learn.
Oh, wow.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
You work for it, though. He ain't just get an A+.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about how to get an A+.
I make sure I leave apples on her desk every day. But But yeah, it's just so many people have skewed opinions about relationships. There's a lot of hate out there. And I don't know, maybe I'm not using the correct word, but there's so many people that down men, that down women, that women ain't, you know what, men ain't, you know what. And it's just like, no, those are the men and women that you've experienced. That's not me. That's not her. That's right. Not Nicole. Those are women and men that you've experienced. Uh-huh. And then you try to group a whole gender into this one particular category because you had a past bad experience. That absolutely blows my mind every time I see it.
Blows my mind too. And I think one of the words you said, hate, you said, you know, I'm not too sure if I'm using the right word. I want to say there's a lot of insecure.
There you go.
Well, a lot of insecurities. Mm-hmm. And when they see a relationship like yours, mm-hmm. it triggers their insecurities. And then now let me lump everybody into a bucket. Absolutely. Because there's no way Devon gets an A+.
Listen, I posted something the other day, and just a prime example. I posted something the other day. I said, you know, how often do you pay attention to your woman? How often do you know what she needs, when she needs it, if she needs a break, if she needs a mental health day, if mm-hmm. she needs to get away? I said, sometimes I'll notice that about her and I'll send her to a hotel Thursday mm-hmm. through Sunday. And I'm like, hey, you need some time off from me. You need some time off from the kids. Go have your time.
Right.
So that way you can come back refreshed, reset, and ready to go. And so many people in the comments like, oh, you sending your girl to do that? Oh, she probably with that other dude and da da da. And this is, I'm like,
wow. Because that has happened to them. So
yeah. Insecurities.
Or that's what they would do. Because that's where your mind is when you get away.
Mm, right. So, that's what they say when you see like my post or your post where you're doing good and so forth, instead of saying, yes, congratulations, sis, congratulations.
They can't be that happy. But this is the thing. The
jealousy mindset. Yeah.
That's the thing. The same thing, you know, in a way, I want to piggyback off like what blows his mind? What blows my mind?
What blows your mind, girl? Go ahead. Go ahead, sis.
Yeah. Those same people that have opinions and perspectives on good relationships and just want good relationships, mm-hmm. how they put stipulations on other people to give them what they don't give themselves. So for me, I find it hard to believe that, or why, to believe why you would expect something, why we expect more from mm-hmm. other people than we do ourselves. So you want a good relationship, but because you don't have a good relationship with yourself, your relationships are toxic and you're the reason why.
Correct.
So that is the relationships that you want out in the world mm-hmm. stem from who you are inside yourself.
Absolutely.
Who are you to you? Before you are to you, who are you to someone else? Before you're trying to be something for somebody else.
That self-awareness. No. Oof.
That bring it back.
Blows your mind. Blows my mind. You know, goes back to Devon saying, you know, the hate, the insecurities, or going to advice or giving advice. Mm-hmm. But my thing is you're not living the life that I want. Mm-hmm. I'm to you for advice. I don't care if you're in a relationship. If I see that your relationship's not thriving, I'm not going to you. It's funny. People come to me, oh, well, you and Marcus should, and you and my husband, Marcus, you and Marcus should. And I go, okay, how long have you been married? And they'll, oh, 2 years. And I said, that's cute. That's cute. I've been with my man for almost 30 years. I've been married 25. When you hit that mark,
listen, 25, baby. How old were we when we were marriage-wise? When they
was just getting married, y'all was on like year 14.
Yeah. I know.
And he said something the other day. Y'all, he said, pros. What did you say?
I said your years in marriage are how old you are. So if you're 2 years in your marriage, then you're 2-year-olds. You guys are toddlers.
Did y'all hear that? So however many years you are married is how old you are. And I'm going to assume you mean like in relationship maturity.
Yeah. Relationship.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So look, I'm 25 years old, and in my world,
25.
My frontal lobe just got mature, you know, because 25.
Yeah, you got your own house, you about to business, you standing on business, and look, like, you're doing it.
I love the way you put that. That is, wow, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, because you're still learning. You're still learning each other. Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh, that just, I don't know where to go with that.
He said it the other day, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah, because I look at it as like, okay, we're coming up on 11 years next month, right?
Yes.
August 25th, we'll be 11 years old.
Yes.
If you think about 11-year-olds are pretty dependent. They're pretty independent. They're pretty, that's what I meant to say, independent. They're pretty self-efficient. You know, they can do things for themselves.
Right.
They can speak and talk through their emotions, what's going on, what they're feeling like. They're learning. They're still in the learning phase.
Right.
But they're maturing to a level to where they have a lot of independence and you don't have to constantly tell them to do things. And so that's kind of where we are. Mm-hmm. We may be a little advanced. I don't, you know, maybe.
Some people learn quicker than others.
Right. Some people learn quicker than others. So, you know, but in general terms, we're 11 years old, you know, as a union, as a couple, as a covenant. Okay. So,
did you just get that gem? Did you just pick up that nugget that my guest put down for you? I hope so. I hope you are taking good notes. This is Nicole Smith, your host with Blow Your Mindset podcast. And don't worry, if you want to continue listening, we will continue right after this message. But if you want to see me and my guest engage, and you want to see us power through this conversation, shoot over to my YouTube channel at The Nicole Smith. Blow Your Mindset, where we challenge your perspective, redefine your mindset, spark your curiosity, and maximize your EQ. When you go over to YouTube, make sure you subscribe so you know when new episodes are dropped. Nicole Smith, Blow Your Mindset podcast. Let's continue on with this good conversation.
You know, and we take what we've learned and we try to teach it to people that are coming up behind us. So like that would be like our little brothers, our little sisters, you know, stuff like that. And so that's what we talk about. And we often talk to people that are in their first year of marriage. They're in their second year of marriage.
I'm like,
you've only been married 8 months and you want to be here? Like it takes some time. A baby doesn't start walking until what, 9, 10, 11, 12 months?
Right. Yeah.
Like, you just started walking. You're still in this stage where you might stumble and fall and you got to get back up and catch your balance and work towards the part to where you then can maybe start to walk a little faster and safer without
falling. I like about that analogy is when kids are learning to walk, they fall so much.
Right.
Yeah. And the minute we fall in our relationships, we want to run.
Right.
Like you can't. So, you know, just giving yourself grace to keep falling, but you keep getting back up and you keep trying and you do it different ways until you stand.
Yeah. And if you notice with a toddler, when they fall, they get right back up and
Or they might cry a little bit. But it doesn't stop them from trying.
Right. It's the curiosity of moving forward more than the fear of falling and staying down.
Yeah.
I have that.
And if you think about when a toddler falls, a lot of times, especially sometimes it may hurt, right? And if the parents go, that usually makes them start crying.
Mm-hmm.
The parents are usually the outside noise. Mm. The outside noise. He did what? She did what? Man, I wouldn't take that. Man, you shouldn't take that. And then you start hearing this and it's like, you don't even know her.
But it affects your journey.
Right. So then you start looking around like, oh my gosh, should I be offended? But that's how the baby looks like. Should I cry? They're nervous. So you know, most of the time, if you don't react suddenly, they usually will look around and they'll get back up. But
right, Wow. No. Okay. So, whoo, you just dropped like 2-3 gems. And so I made some notes because we're going to come back to that outside noise. But I want everyone to know about your passion, your purpose, you know, chameleon love. What is the essence? How did that come to fruition? How did chameleon love come? What is the essence of it?
Okay. So I'll give you the quick version of how we came to it.
Okay.
So picture this. It's 2018. I had just gotten laid off. She had just gotten laid off.
Wow.
And we had a 4-year-old. We had a 6-month-old. And we found out she's pregnant. And I'm like, what do you mean you're pregnant?
Like, what happened?
How? I don't have a job. You don't have a job. Like, how?
Found out that week and kept it from 4 weeks.
Oh my God. I mean, it was one of those things. So fast forward a couple months, we're in the toughest part of our marriage because we both are stressed the hell out. We, you know, we got 2-1 on the way, no job, and we're not talking to each other. We stopped communication, and it's literally the toughest season of our marriage.
Right.
And so I'm in the bed asleep. I get waking out of my sleep at about 4:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And God was like, chameleon love. And I'm like, what does a reptile have to do with me?
What is a lizard have to do with this?
Chameleons, okay, they change colors, they blend in with the environment. Okay, cool. What does that have to do with me? Mm-hmm. And then he started just laying it on me. He was like, you need to learn to love her how she needs to be loved and stop loving her how you want to be loved. And I was like, you just gonna drop that on me at 4:30 in the morning? That's what you're gonna do? Mm-hmm. So I woke her up again. We're not really talking. So she looking at me like, why are you waking me up? We're not even talking. Right. So I'm like,
don't touch me.
I'm like,
no, I get it. I understand. Don't
like, you know. I'm like, chameleon love. She like, okay, what's that? I said, so I told her, you know, what I described to you, what God said to me. And so she was like, okay, you know, that's odd, but okay. So fast forward to later on that morning, we really start talking about it. And I was just like, man, I gotta learn how to love you the way you need to be loved. And so I was like, you know how a chameleon adapts to its environment? I said, we as people, we change every 3 to 5 years or after every major life event, we change. So inevitably, when we change, the way we need to be loved also changes. That can be a love language. That can be what you know, how you approach me, how you talk to me, the tone that you use, all that stuff may have to change, or at some point it will have to change, because the Nicole now isn't the Nicole from 25 years ago when Marcus first married you. You're totally different. You've had children, you've had businesses, you've had life events, things have happened. So you've changed probably 10 times in that process. Yes. And so, you know, he laid that on me at that point. And you know, that's when we kind of started talking about like, man, like other people probably need to hear this too. Mm-hmm. So we started a podcast back then. We would go to our podcast, wouldn't even talk the whole way to the podcast.
Have a great podcast, wouldn't even talk the whole way back home. Get in the car and be like, don't talk to me, don't say nothing.
Like,
you know,
we're not talking for real, but don't do it. When I say we're like, we straight up transparent with our stuff. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
And I'm like, listen. Mm-mm.
How long have you been married? I don't think we covered that.
Coming up on 11 years.
Yeah.
So you did say you're 11 years old. You did. Okay. All right. So you're not talking.
We were how old in our marriage then?
We were 5 years.
So we were about 5 years when this started. So we were still toddlers out in these streets throwing tantrums.
Out in these streets. Just unleashing behaviors, all just bad behavior,
all kinds of toxicity.
Still,
just,
you know, running off on the plug twice, and then, you know, talking to people. The thing is, we always had a passion to talk to people and enlighten, uplifting, empower marriages and relationships. When it came down to hours, sometimes we were just like, during this season, we were like, man, I really don't like you.
Yeah,
like we really don't like each other, but because God wants us to do this, right, we don't keep showing up.
You know,
really just in the background, like, you know, this is only because God is calling us to this, but we're struggling to keep what we have, struggling to keep, you know, be positive, just struggling to stay in the game. But we never, ever thought about now. We might have thought about like moving to the side, moving to the, you know, even moving to the backyard. But we would never speak the D word that over our lives.
Okay.
Right? We just like,
divorce has divorce, never been on an option. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, we ain't never getting, I don't know what the future holds.
Yeah.
But I know thus far, mm-hmm. that has never been on the table. We've never talked about it. We've never thought about it. It because we saw craziness growing up in our homes.
Yes, same here.
The violence, all of that stuff.
Yeah. Yes.
And we was like, got listen, that. We're going to put our all into it. And if it doesn't work, at least I can say I gave it my all. Yeah. I left everything, as they say, I played college mm-hmm. football. As they say, leave it on the field.
Yeah.
We left everything on the field. Right. So that's what we're doing. We're leaving everything on the field.
Yeah.
So how did you're loving her the way she wants to be loved, and the same with you, Jen, loving him the way he wants mm-hmm. to be loved. But in regards to that self-love and that self-care, how were you taking care of yourself? Because in my world, in emotional intelligence, we talk about self-awareness, you know, understanding your likes, your dislikes, your triggers, your biases. But I also too talk about that self-love. But in the workplace, I talk about that self-leadership. How are you focusing on you to be able to give him or love him the way he wanted to be loved? You had to focus on yourself first, though.
I was doing it backwards.
Okay.
I was doing it how generations have taught us to do it, to put other people before ourselves.
Okay.
So here I am trying to get this concept, because remember, we don't know how this is going to play out. We don't know how to live it out.
Mm-hmm.
He was telling me that he needs to do that. And I'm thankful and grateful that God gave him that vision.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I'm like, okay, so if that's the case, then I'm going to pour into you, pour into you, pour into you at the expense of myself. Yeah. No, that's wrong. We got it backwards. It's good for us pouring into each other. But the fact of the matter was, I didn't love myself. I wasn't pouring into myself.
Mm-hmm.
But because he had enough self-love for him,
mm-hmm.
it was enough to nurture what I didn't have for me.
Okay.
And that is how I was able to. He loved me enough to teach me how to love myself.
Oh.
And appreciate me.
Yes.
And that's when I really began to really understand the depth of the chameleon love effect, the self-love effect, the fact that so because he had enough, mm-hmm. he was able to give me. Now, if he was in a deficit of self-love and I was in a deficit,
yeah,
it would have been a deficit.
It would have been a deficit,
right?
It would have been a detriment. At that point.
Yeah. Right.
Absolutely.
So that is how I started. And I just started to learn. I just admitted that I didn't love myself last year.
Wow.
And shared that with him, which was a shock to him.
And that's year 10.
We're getting last ready to go year into 10. Year 11. And I just, at the top of 2023, realized, man, I don't love myself.
And because you were quote, loving the way you've seen in your emotional narrative growing up.
Right.
The way society has indoctrinated us to quote love others and not have that self-love, because you know it's selfish
to love yourself, right. Put yourself before right. other people. But that's the generational right. habit that we have adopted. And because we've adopted it, we teach other people and other things to love us accordingly. And then when we are not fulfilled, mm-hmm. then it's everybody's fault but our own.
Right.
So we're doing it backwards. So we had to, in order for us to go out and speak about this, I had to live it and walk it. And I was like, whoa, wait a minute. We can't teach chameleon love without self-love. And I can't teach self-love without loving myself. How do you do that? So we were getting ready to go out in the world and start talking. And God was like, no, you won't. No,
not,
Jen.
Not with that mindset.
You won't do that. You better go back in the back, do your work, and really teach yourself what it is. First of all, own your shit.
Yeah.
Stand in it. Teach yourself. Go back and figure out little Jen that wasn't affirmed and still seeking out love and throwing tantrums in your now marriage.
Right.
Go ahead and handle her. And I had to go back and really dig deep.
I didn't know this. Like she didn't share this with me. So I'm thinking like, hey, we about to be all systems go. right? More love. And she like, hold on.
Yeah.
I have an internal issue I got to deal with, and it's self-love.
That's huge. You know, it's courage that takes for you to do that, though. It's like, you know, I talk about people understanding their emotional narrative. My household was so emotionally chaotic, it wasn't even funny. And so what I realized in growing up was the type of relationship I did want, right? Type of relationship I didn't want. But I had to understand my story and unlearn the responses, the behavior that I had seen, so I can learn new ways that promoted that self-love, promoted me loving my spouse the way he wanted to be loved. You know, I hear about all the love languages, and that's great. But in my world, I've had to learn how to adapt my behavior for those moments within our relationship, because some days he may want all my love. Yeah. And some days he's like, no. And I'm like, wait, you know, what am I doing? So going in there and teaching other couples or other people that are in relationships, and it's fair for me to say intimate relationships. Is that your name?
It's intimate relationships, starting with yourself.
Okay. All right.
Like that's where we really want to start, because the chameleon love effect goes into every area of our life. Really? It's variable. It is multifaceted. Listen, it is the way. It's not, chameleon love isn't just a brand. It's a way of life. Ooh. And that's what we want people to know. The chameleon love effect, like that butterfly effect, that movie, you know, it's the chameleon love effect. Are you applying the effect to your relationships with your children, your friendships, your partnerships, your corporations, your businesses, your internal light? That's the chameleon love effect.
Gotcha. So going back to Devon, you saying the outside noise. For you, and maybe even for others, for y'all's relationship and for others, do you hear that people are really paying attention to that outside noise? It's really detriment. Yeah. It's slowing them down, self-sabotaging, whatever you want to call. Yeah. But explain some of that outside noise and how do we mitigate it? Because people are going to have their opinions.
Right. Yeah. I think, well, it's twofold. The first part is people that are close to you, especially family. Mm-hmm. You have to be very, very careful about what you share with family, because naturally they're going to take your side, and you could easily cause them to not like your spouse.
Correct.
Based on whatever you tell them. And you know, there's three sides to the truth, right? It's always your side, my side, and then what really happened. And most of the time, if you tell somebody something, the outside people are going to get your version. They're not going to get the other person's version. And you get to create the narrative of the story. You can tell them whatever you want to tell them. Mm-hmm. And I think you got to keep family, you know, obviously keep them close as your loved ones, but you got to keep them out of your business. Whatever goes on in this household, this is between us.
Right.
Ain't got nothing to do with my mama. Ain't got nothing to do with my daddy. Ain't got nothing to do with her brothers or my brothers or whoever. You know what I'm saying? Right. Our business. So that's one. The other side of the outside noise is social media. And I say this as a content creator who has a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. Social media is so skewed on their views that if you listen to what social media is telling you to do, and I say social media because it's a myriad of things, you will easily end up by yourself for the rest of your life. Even if you don't want to. Now, some people want to do that, and that's what you want to do. Totally fine.
Totally fine.
Be by yourself, be merry, be blessed. Right. Yes. But if your goal is to have a relationship and your goal is to get married and to love someone, you know, wholeheartedly and have them love you, and you guys are doing right by each other and you're not bringing the toxicity into the relationship, blah, 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 you're going to have to block out a lot of that outside noise and be very, very careful and ask for discernment on what you should let come in your ear and stay and what filters out.
Yes, his followers are crazy.
Because some of the things they say in my comments, I mean, I'll literally post something and it might have 1,000 comments and it's just a bunch of foolishness. And I just be looking like,
Listen, it's sometimes yes, I'm in there looking at your comments, just eat, read, because I'm not about
It'd be my comments. Sometimes I'd be wanting to go in. Yeah, I'm like, I might go in and type something. I'd be like, nah, I ain't even gonna jump into this.
I'll hop in there and my ADHD be like, no, baby, no, don't do that.
So that's part of that outside noise is social media. Mm-hmm. Will tell you a lot of wrong things, and right. You will think like, yeah, I don't need this. I don't need a woman like this, and I don't need this type of man. And then you like, well, why is it? I've been, you know, wanting to get in a relationship. It's 5 years now, and I still don't. It's probably because you listen to that girl that tell that the lady that tells you you don't need a man for nothing. You could do everything by yourself, and da 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 da. And like,
okay.
If that's what, if you think men are looking for that,
good luck.
By all means, you might be a fun time, but you're not a long time.
Ooh. Yeah, I knew I was gonna be for the long time.
Me too. I was like, I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
For a long time, we're gonna have some fun times. So
right, there you go.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And that just blows my mind that people out here have a long list of what they want the other person to bring to the table.
Yes. But what is your list? What's your list for yourself?
What are you bringing to the table?
And this is the thing. How you feel in here is what you're going to portray out there.
How you show up. Yeah.
How are you showing up for you? Do you date yourself? It blows my mind that I can think about. Do you date yourself? Date myself. Why would I go to dinner by my? Why would I go to the hotel by my? Why would I need? Why wouldn't you?
Why
wouldn't you? You don't sit with you. Why? How are you going to bring other people to the table and expect them to sit with you?
Because they don't even like themselves.
There you go.
Right.
This is where I asked the question. What I think it was on some comedian, and I want to say Martin, but I may be wrong. When it's like, does your mama even like you? Who said that? It was a comedian that said that. It was like, does your mama even like you? I mean, it's, you think about it. And then one question I've heard is, would you date yourself?
Exactly.
If you were to walk up to you.
That's it.
Being your own presence.
Would you even do a relationship with yourself? Would you go, hey, shorty?
No, hey.
Right.
Would you even try to approach yourself? It's like, wow. And when you think about it like that, it's like, whoo. Yep. So,
yeah.
So you've dropped nuggets and gems, and I sure hope everyone has been taking nuggets. Like I said, pause, rewind, do not fast forward, because you'll miss something if you fast forward. So self-love. You've invested in your relationship, but I want to talk about investing in your home. A lot of people think investment means just dollars, you know, putting money in somewhere. As soon as you say invest, people think dollar signs, right? And so explain to us about investing in your home to where, for me, my home is peaceful. Mm-hmm. Every time people come to my house, they say, oh, it's so peaceful here. Mm-hmm. That's on purpose, because I had all the chaos growing up. And I just refuse. No yelling. No, I'm not doing all that.
Me but too.
We have invested in our home. What does that look like for you both?
I think the biggest thing for us is creating a safe place.
Yes.
And a safe space. Not just for myself, but for everyone attached to me.
Ooh.
When I'm coaching women, a lot of the times I'm asking them, what's your temperature?
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what you mean? What's my temperature? What's your temperature in here? Are you hot in here? Are you hot tempered?
Mm-hmm.
Are you unstable? Do you know how you feel? Like, you up and down? Like, are you creating a safe temperature for yourself first? Mm-hmm. Then I'll ask, what's the temperature in your house? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're talking about it's like 78 degrees. Is it, or is it 95? And does it stay 95 daily? So it's like, what temperature are you bringing to your home? What aura are you putting inside your house? How do people feel when they walk through the door? Is it chaotic? Is it peaceful? Does it match the energy that you bring? And for me, for the women, like, they're like, oh, it's just not all about the women. Oh, yes, because a woman makes the house a home.
Yes.
So yeah. In order for us to make it a home, the temperature has to be right. It has to feel good. It has to flow well. So that's the investment number one, is that emotional internal temperature that you are bringing to your house. Mm-hmm. You can't be rah-rah outside and bring rah-rah in here and expect it to be calm. No, it's going to be rah-rah everywhere you go if that's the way you feel. So for me, it's huge about bringing peace in my home, how people feel when they walk through the door. Do they feel loved? Do they feel comfortable? Do they feel critical? Like, am I making them feel that? I don't want you walking on eggshells when you come in here. I want you to be yourself. And the thing is that if I can do that, then everybody attached to me wins. My kids will be more relaxed. My husband will be good. The people that come in will be good. We've been having people come to our home.
We have had people live with us. We have people stay extended stays with us.
Everybody's kids love to be here.
And they absolutely don't want to leave.
They don't ever want to leave. And I'm like, ooh, what is it that you're creating? Because we've never had the biggest house or the most, the nicest things or the night, but it's how they feel. It's the experience that they have when they come to your home. And so that's what I mean emotionally. Investing, starting with yourself, right? And then into the people. And it just goes on and it's just contagious.
And I think it's worth mentioning two things, and I'm sorry to interrupt. The first thing, to go back to what she said about the temperature, women, if you don't understand what she was saying, in a nutshell, women are thermostats in their home.
Yes.
That means that that's what she's saying by you can control the temperature. Uh-huh. If you're chaotic inside, your house is probably going to be chaotic. Yeah. If you're, stable and you're making sure everybody has what they need, then usually it's going to be calmer. Now, there are some anomalies, and I'm not saying everybody, so I don't want to make it seem like a one size fits all.
Yes. But
in most cases, if you're controlling the temperature in your house, then usually the house is going to be at a much calmer state, much peaceful state, like you say, a much peaceful state when somebody enters in your home. The second thing to that is I want her to touch on real quick is therapy. Huh. All of us are in therapy, me, her, and the kids.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, obviously, especially in our culture, and our people, our families, I say us meaning Black people, a lot of times therapy is negative, right? That's, I'm not telling my business to people. I don't know them people. I don't need therapy. You don't need therapy. That's for crazy people. And all the other generational wrong stuff that people told us because they wasn't educated on what it actually is and what it does, how you benefit from it. So, baby, if you can't just kind of speak on that, just briefly about
therapy.
That.
Okay. So, and the thing with therapy is that you don't realize you know you need it until you're honest with yourself.
Yeah.
And I had to be honest with myself. Although I created these, I brought this nurturing vibe to our home. I really didn't know how chaotic I was inside. Mm-hmm. And I remember in the very end of our very beginning of our marriage, when it was hard, I think we had one child back then. Mm-hmm. But our marriage counselor came in and he sat down with me and he said, listen, whatever you're going through internally is not his fault. And if you're charging him with the responsibility of fixing something that only you can fix, you're going to run him off. And he's a good man. And you have to fix that. And that sat with me. I had to sit with that. Because I was real catty. I was, in some areas, like I've never been the micromanager, but why you got to go here? Why you got, like, it was because I wanted more from him than I wanted from myself.
It put a lot of pressure on me. And I'm like, shut up.
I know what I need. You don't know what you need. That's why you're frustrated. And so that's when I started really digging deep and saying, man, I really struggle. I had a very presently absent father that I was bringing those wounds into our marriage. And so there was a lot of things that I had to sit with and really come to terms with. So I did psychotherapy. I did, I had mental health visits. And then I got psych assessments to figure out what else is going on, my mental health. And then I was diagnosed last year with ADHD and PTSD, which I always knew I struggled with those things when I was a little girl, but I really started seeing it show up in my, show up in my interactions with the kids. and how I connected with them. And I remember writing in my journal in the beginning of our marriage, when we started having kids, and my boys would be like, "Mommy's mean. She's always yelling. She's doing, you know." And I was like, "Ooh, why am I like that?" And that's what made me start thinking to myself, like, "Okay, Jen, you got to do something with yourself in order to be able to create an environment, a safe environment for the people that you love."
So, would you agree with the deal and heal to have thriving relationships?
Yeah,
you got to deal and heal. You have to deal.
Absolutely.
Show up in every relationship you have. And Jen, like you said, in the workplace, in the home, in the community, you have to deal and heal to have thriving relationships.
And I'm going to take it a step further, Nicole. Say deal and heal, but what you don't heal, you kill.
Ooh.
You kill the potential to have good partnership.
Right.
You kill the ability to be able to connect authentically with people. Mm-hmm. People, you know, you kill the corporate partnerships that you have, the ability to connect with your kids. Like you kill that relationship. Like, why would you want to kill the potential of something that has the potential to be so great?
Yes, absolutely. Because we're all, there's people running around here in their 10-year-old self. Just unleashing bad behaviors everywhere. So my last question for you before we wrap up, this has been such an amazing conversation, and I hope everyone has gained at least one nugget from Devon and Jennifer. But, you know, I said in the very beginning, I had a two-part question, and here's the second part.
Okay.
About what blows your mind, right? But how what you two do can shift those perspectives and those mindsets. Because we're going to blow your mind, but how can we blow your mindset? Meaning, how can we shift those perspectives? So quick tips on, you know, what you two do to help shift perspectives in relationships.
Give some of the tips that you use for, that we use with our clients for self-love.
Oh, yes. Don't give away too many. Just give one or two because I want folks to call you.
Yeah, okay. Listen, the first thing that we do is to affirm ourselves. And one of the things that I did that I was able to do for myself in learning how to love myself properly is I will and I am. Okay. I am. If I can't say I am, if I'm not strong enough to say I am powerful right now, I will say I will be powerful. I will get there. I will. So how you talk to yourself, that self-talk matters. So speaking what you will do and speaking what you are, you know, and telling yourself. And then a lot of times I say, do the mirror. If you can do the mirror exercise, the mirror is a lot of us. Would you look at yourself in the mirror?
Mm-hmm.
Do you pass by the mirror or do you actually stare and like, which, because the more that you stare at that, the more you believe what you are and what you can do. And so we coach people to the I will and the I am and the daily wins. What is going well in your life? I don't care how much chaos is around you, how hard you fall, whatever you gave up on, whatever doesn't fall right, but what is going right?
Right.
You got up and you're trying. That might just be your win. To choose your win and to make sure that you reflect and sit in what you're doing well more than what you're doing wrong.
Right.
And it's not even about what you're doing wrong. We don't even use what you're doing right and what you're doing wrong. We use opportunities.
Yes.
What is my opportunity? Where do I have opportunity to grow?
Mm.
And what am I, where am I doing well?
Mm-hmm. I use the roses and thorns.
Yes.
What's rosy right now? What are the roses and what are the thorns? Because we can look at the thorns too and see what we can move forward, right? Yeah. So yeah.
And then it's the spiritual. Like, let's not forget the formula for chameleon love is God loves, you know, God's love plus self-love equals unconditional love. And unconditional love is how you do chameleon love.
Oh, like,
that's just what it is. If you can, unconditional love is no strings attached. I love you, whether you're hot, cold, in between. I just love you. And I'm going to keep showing up because I love you. Unless I feel like I have to love myself enough to walk away, that's when you start to say, "Oh, I can't love you more than I love myself."
Absolutely.
And you know, there are a lot of people walking around with some stinking thinking.
Right.
The way they think about themselves and talk about themselves is absolutely horrific. Like it can be detrimental to what God may be trying to drop into your spirit, but because it's so clouded and guarded and you know, jaded and blocked and hardened, he can't get through. And it's because of your past experiences, you think like, okay, because this happened to me, this is what I am. This is who I am. This defines me. And that's not the case. Yeah. I know we always say the coin term is breaking generational curses. And that is true. We are doing that right now. But what we're doing is changing the course of our lineage. Yeah. Is, you know, I want to leave an inheritance for my children. Like, I want to be, there are so many different things I want to accomplish. But I got to talk it. I got to speak it. I got to hear myself say it enough. Then I'll start thinking it.
Yeah.
And if I start thinking it, then I'll start believing it. And if I start believing it, I'll start doing it and I'll become it. And so we teach our boys all the time. They have daily affirmations. Mm-hmm. We teach them, you know, not to be negative to themselves. You can, you know, obviously we're human. So sometimes we're gonna feel like, oh man, I messed that up or whatever. Okay. But it's okay to acknowledge it and to feel it, but to not stay in it. We can't dwell in the negative.
You process it. You pause, you process it. I always say with emotions, you got to label and process it. And I say, sit in it. Sit in it. Yep. But the problem is how long we going to sit in it? That's what we need.
We give them a minute. Like, you got it.
Process it, because then you move into the toxicity of positive psychology. And the harm in that is that we sweep things under the rug. We dismiss how we feel. And in relationships too, telling my husband what you did the other day didn't sit well with me. And do you mind if I tell you how it made me feel? And then, okay. And then I share. But again, you have to touch on those items as well to be able to move forward in the relationship. Listen, I like my husband. A lot of people are like, you know, what keeps y'all together so long? I like him.
Yeah. We love each other's company. That's my homie. Like
when I say that's my dog. Like,
yes.
People think that look and they think that, you know, I'm sure they probably think the same thing about y'all. Like, y'all, this can't be real. I'm like, this is as what you see on this podcast. This actually is not even scratching the surface of what you get. Like, our friends that know us, that, you know, vacation with us and stuff, they like, man, y'all crazy.
We have a ball. Listen,
we love y'all.
Our whole world, like,
yes, we travel together. I mean, I literally, people are like, well, we want to travel with y'all, and him and I are looking at each other like, do we want to have other people travel with us? Because we have a good time by ourselves.
Right.
Listen, we ain't on that other stuff. Listen, like,
we be over here thinking like, such and such, they want to, like,
we need to be travel yoked. We need to be travel yoked. But no, it's just people wonder, you know, are y'all real? And this is what you get. My husband is my best friend. I can tell him anything. He's the one that gets the, hey, babe, I want to try this new dance. Is it working? Is it right? He's like, nah. But he's that one that I can be silly in front of, be goofy in front of, and be
your authentic self. And what you have to realize too is that in this stage, we're teaching our kids how to choose friends and how to be a friend. For us, this is huge. Like, who you marry should be your ride. You know, that's your ride.
Right. That's my ride. Yep. Authenticity. And we talked about that in our previous conversation, being authentic with each other, protecting each other. But one of the things I always say about my husband, because I grew up in an emotionally chaotic household, I didn't have an emotional safe space. Mm-hmm. I didn't feel like I had an emotional safe person.
Right.
He is my emotional safe place.
Yes.
And I told him that, and he knows that, and not to put pressure on him, mm-hmm. but he knows how important that is to me. He knows that is a value of mine. And so when he feels that he's not being emotional safe for me, let's reconvene. What's going on here? Because I feel like if I can't go to him and he can't pick up what I'm laying down, right? It's who can I go to? It's like, I can go to therapy, of course, But Marcus has known me since I was 18. I was just a little girl, little pretty thing on campus. So it's just, you know, but I feel I want everyone, to your point, I want everyone to be able to experience that.
Yeah. And we believe everyone can, but I want everyone to love themselves better.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, right? So that they don't run off what could be really good for them. Or potentially, you know, start to like invest good spaces and space, you know, places, you know, with the stuff that you so like you were saying, like even with my diagnosis with ADHD, how he loved me before he knew he had to completely change that
right
after he found that out. And he gives me more grace in my you know, mishaps. Almost burned the house down this week, but actually blew it up, to be honest.
Almost blew the whole house up.
That's a part two podcast episode.
That's a part two and three.
It's how he responded to me
in
that moment was that helped me to be like, okay, you know, this wasn't good, but I didn't stay in the defeat. I'm like, all right, Jen, you gotta do better. You have to slow down. You have to really think. And I'm like, that's the difference also in having a spiritually equipped man, because listen.
That's podcast two. That's session two. Literally, we could probably talk for hours. I adore you two. I know Devon introduced me and Jen.
That blows my mind.
And then Luann, we have mutual friends, and it is just, no, this is this it, God is divine, right? So I truly love you both, your relationship. I love how you influence, and Devon, I'm gonna push for 100,000 more, because everyone needs they need to hear this, right? And it's not just like you said, a relationship like husband, wife, just relationships. And I want to make that clear in regards to how you show up. And it all begins with that self-love. And thank you so much for relaunching my podcast. Amazing, amazing episode. And I want everyone to go follow and contact. Okay. And if you're like, well, wait, hold on. How do I get in contact with them? Within the description of this podcast, you'll have all their contact information. Also, too, when we promote on my social media, they'll have all your contact information. And this is going to blow up. We need to make Chameleon Love a household name, a brand all across the globe. We're going international.
And a way of life, and we appreciate you having us here. We are not only wanting people to push for what's going on internally, but we have investing on financial too. We're bringing them the financial end of it too. So
that's part of the
plan. A lot of good.
Hit us up. Let us know.
Is that finance? Because what do people fight about the most? Finances in the household, right? And listen, I knew when my boyfriend at the time, now my husband, paid my car note in college, I was done. I was like, he my husband.
Look, I knew when I think it wasn't even my boyfriend, when I went out of town and let him keep my car for me and my windows.
My husband.
My man.
Yes. So I know we will be talking again. We have bounced off ideas in regards to things to do in person. Ooh. And so Jen and I have talked to Devon, so we'll bring you in a loop. Thank you so much. I pray for many, many more years in this relationship, and so many blessings to the both of you. And we will definitely be talking soon. And like I said, my listeners and my viewers, I hope you took some notes. If not, I need you to press pause and go back to the beginning and start all over and listen, because these nuggets were real. Devon and Jen, love you both. And thank you
so much. We love you. We love you, Nicole.
Chameleon love. Everyone, see you next time. And blow your mindset with Nicole Smith. Relaunch is a wrap.
Let's go.
Wow. I hope you took some good notes. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Blow Your Mindset podcast, where we are challenging your perspective. We're redefining your mindset. We're sparking your curiosity and maximizing your EQ. Make sure you follow our guest. All their contact information is in the description. Of course, follow me, Nicole Smith. Subscribe so you know when new episodes drop. All my contact information is on the screen if you're watching via YouTube or in the podcast description. Hope to hear from you soon. I want to hear from you soon. And continue being emotionally brilliant every day. Signing off. Until next time, Nicole Smith. Thank you.